your spirit out, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. We've been saying this and experiencing this outpouring of Holy Spirit upon us for a while. And I've been saying this for a long time. And this message kind of grew last Saturday morning and then again Sunday morning. I woke up and the lyric of that worship song, the song is called Fresh Wind. Fresh Wind was on my mind, and I woke up Saturday morning and got up immediately, went downstairs and was just praying, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. Lord, what is it about this? Pour your spirit out. You've been pouring your spirit out upon us for a long time, and we've been acknowledging that. What is this about? What all are you doing among us? And then I got up and I was just prayed about all kinds of different situations. Lord, pour your spirit on that person. Pour your spirit on that situation. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. It was just, you know, a good, I don't know, 45 minutes, an hour of just, that was last Saturday morning. And then again, Sunday morning, I woke up with the same song. Just pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. What are you, you know, what are you doing? And I came in Sunday morning and I just had written down some notes and went into our open door class, and we just started talking about what's it mean when the Holy Spirit's pouring himself out upon us? How does that make you feel? Or does it make you scared? Does it make you nervous? Does it make you excited? There's all kinds of variations of our reactions we may have when the Holy Spirit is being poured out upon us. Because we don't always know exactly what Holy Spirit's doing. It's an internal work. It's also a corporate work. We don't always understand what that's about. So we began talking about that in class and so we talked about it, and I'll get back to that, but I have some scriptures I'm going to share. But we have to be so mindful in this day that when Holy Spirit's being poured out upon us, there is purpose for it. There's purpose for it. And so I'm going to share some things that happened as we went into class, but I want to just share some foundations first before we get into exactly how this message came about and where we're going with it. I want to establish that Jesus promised he was going to send us the Holy Spirit. I want to establish that from the very beginning here. In John, he's telling his disciples that, you know, he's going to be leaving the earth, and he's talking about when the Holy Spirit comes, and here's what he says in John 15. He says, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. You also must testify. When I read that, I was like, wow, you also must testify. So we're part of this work. We're part of this. When Holy Spirit's being poured out, when the Advocate comes and points us to Jesus and speaks the truth to us, we need to be telling people. For you have been with me from the beginning, he tells his disciples. Very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. And he explains this a little bit about sin because people don't believe in me, about righteousness because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. And if I have time, I may get back to this later. I have a thought as we're going along. I don't know how much time we'll have, but I may get back to this a little bit later. So is that song, Fresh Wind, was just in my mind, Here's some of the words. As we repent, turn from sin, revival embers smoldering, breath of God fan us into flame. As we repent, turn from sin. As we repent, turn from sin. So we repent, turn from sin. And Holy Spirit always, always, always wants us to deal with internal things before we deal with external things. And a lot of times when we want Holy Spirit to move among us, we always tend to go to gifts and grateful we have gifts among us, grateful there's manifestations of the Spirit among us. As we were talking this in class last week, and I brought several scriptures, and we're going to look at some of those scriptures. But as the conversation went on in class, one of the guys in class said, "Here's what speaks to me as we're talking about Holy Spirit," and here's what he said. Holy Spirit is holy. It's part of his name. It's part of his name. And I think sometimes we can get things topsy-turvy. And I believe the Lord's doing this work. I believe the Holy Spirit's being poured upon us more than anything, yes, to manifest his presence and to empower us and do all the things he's called us to do. But before that, to acknowledge his holiness. His holiness. As he's being poured upon us, letting him remove whatever needs to be removed. Letting him deal with us, because we know the Lord's called us. We've been hearing these assignments he's giving us, fivefold ministry, moving in power, seeing miracles, seeing, and we see some of that. We see some of that emerging. But I'm so convinced that the only way we'll see more and more and more is when we let him deal with the things within us that for whatever reason we don't let him deal with. For whatever reason, we just sort of hold on to or think, well, that's for him or that's for her or that's for somebody else. But as we read in our class today, because we've talked about this again today, without holiness, no one will see God. Now, we know that we're not holy, can't make ourselves holy. We know that. It's only his work. So his Holy Spirit is being poured upon us. What refinements are we letting him do? What does he want to fix in us? What does he want to remove from us? We sang, squeeze out of me. I spoke the squeeze part. But new wine, new wine, new wine, new wine. Because I think sometimes we're still wanting and trying to put new wine into old vessels. And that will not work. That will not work. And again, I don't know what everyone's situations are. I just know ever since since I heard these words and then our discussion in class, anytime I hear anything of Holy Spirit, I'm like, anytime I sing a song or hear a song or hear a word or read a scripture about Holy Spirit, it's like, Lord, what is it in me that you want to remove? What is it that, and my mind is sort of filled with that sort of mentality of what's my thought life? Does it please you? What's about to come out of my mouth? So here's some of the verses we looked at. We'll get back to this whole idea. So Acts, second chapter of Acts, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there was staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one had heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people.'" We know. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to know that the things that are unfolding in the earth, things that are happening, we are living in the last days. Whatever, I don't know what that means in terms of time. We're not supposed to know the time frame, but we can see signs. But I will pour my spirit on all people. So we know that's happening. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. They will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness. The moon, we know that's coming. The moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So we know that there's an assignment upon us, but again, I wonder sometimes what stops that us from fulfilling the assignment in its fullness, and I think sometimes it's the things that we allow to stay in us that becomes just still part of our lives that he wants us to just throw off and surrender, surrender, surrender. We sang that song today. And I'll tell you the conclusion of this message. I'm going to tell you from the very beginning. It's surrender. It's surrender. I'm going to say that over and over again. It's surrender. Surrender to you, Lord. Yes, does this make me uncomfortable at times? Yes. Yes, Lord, make me uncomfortable. Make me uncomfortable with the things that you're wanting to accomplish in me. Make me uncomfortable. Make me uncomfortable. Don't let me settle for just comfort. We know you bring comfort to us, and we're so grateful for that, but you didn't come to make us comfortable. Then we read from Titus, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth, renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. So that the idea of his Holy Spirit being poured out on us generously, there's a general work of that. Just by surrendering to Jesus, he pours out his spirit on us generously, and then we have encounters. Then we have encounters. I will pour out my spirit on all people in the last days. He's doing that. Both things are happening. The first thing happened at salvation. We didn't necessarily know that. I didn't know that. I didn't know anything about Holy Spirit when I surrendered to Jesus. I didn't know anything about Jesus when I surrendered. I didn't know a whole lot about Jesus when I surrendered to Jesus. I came to know him as I came to read and study and engage with him. And that's ongoing. So we read that verse. And then we read this verse. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Imagine that crowd. The Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. And boy, when I read that, even on the Gentiles, we are the Gentiles of 2024. We are the Gentiles of 2024. So Holy Spirit's being poured out even on us, even on the likes of us, even on the likes of us. And it's purposeful, and it's not just to give us gifts. I love gifts. Not dismissing gifts. We've had studies on gifts. We talk about gifts. We use gifts. We see them among us all the time. But a lot of times I think we want to function in gifts, and we want to see the gifts, and we want to see the manifestation of the gifts. But do we want to walk in holiness? Do we want to walk in holiness? I was thinking about this. So I think it was 3 years ago now. 3 years ago, our word was set apart. And I was reminded while I was lying in bed this morning, about 5 o'clock, I think it was when I woke up, and I thought about this. So I remember when that word came. I was actually driving here to church. It was the first Sunday of the year, and Pastor Shane was speaking. And Lord hadn't given me the word yet until that. Lord gave me the word for that year, set apart, on my way to church that morning. And I was singing Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. And when those words came out of my mouth, I said, that's your word, set apart, because I want my people to be set apart. I want my people to be set apart for me, set apart for me, separated. That's what sanctification's all about. We're going to look at some scriptures if we have time about all of that, what that's all about is setting us apart, ready to be used by him, ready to be used for his purposes. And I was reminded of that this week, that was our word 3 years ago. So 3 years ago, 3 years ago, he's saying, I want my people to be set apart. And he's reminding of us in 2024 that as I'm sending you out, as I'm telling you to go and tell, I want you to be going in my power. I want you to be going in everything that I have for you. But throw off everything that's hindering you, whatever it is hindering you, whatever's stopping you. You know, I was thinking about this, that sometimes I believe, you know, and again, maybe all kinds of people in here that maybe you're still nervous about Holy Spirit. Maybe you're unsure about Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking sometimes, and I don't know everybody's story, and I don't know what all the reasons might be for that. But I wonder if sometimes are we afraid of Holy Spirit because of what Holy Spirit's going to require of me? What does he want to pull out of me that I'm unwilling to surrender? Well, I'm okay. Holy Spirit's for those. Yeah, I think Pastor Shane described a Sunday night bunch here last week as the wild ones, and that we were Holy Spirit moved upon us in a very real way, very real way. We sang. It was pretty interesting because I referenced this in class this morning. For a long time we sang. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. And ever since last weekend, whenever I read or sing a lyric like that, I was like, is that true, Lord? Is that all I want? Is that all I want? We have to be real. We have to be honest. We have to acknowledge whatever it is that interrupts Holy Spirit from having full and free reign. And Pastor Shane referenced this in his message last week about activating the ecclesia, and it was so good. It was so good. That message is up now on our website, and so good. But he said, Lord needs all parts of us. So when we're saying, pour your Spirit out, that's just not on the prayer team. What's that? Oh, yeah, you want it too. No, I'm not saying exclude them. Yeah, I know you want it too, but it's not just them. It's all of us. It's everybody. We need all the parts operating together. Because that's his desire. It's not my plan. That's his desire. Because I'm convinced that as Fivefold Ministry is operating, and it's operating here, we have a Fivefold Ministry, but I'm convinced that we're going to see more and more and more as we surrender to his holiness. And it won't be anything that will have ever be worked up. It won't be anything that will even have to, stuff's just going to flow. Because we're living in a surrendered state. We're living in a bowed down state. We're saying, Holy Spirit, come rest on us and do what you want. Remove that thing. I'm kind of getting all to my concluding messages, notes already, but I don't care. When this happens, when this work of the Holy Spirit happens, and maybe some of you experience this, maybe some of you don't, and some of you may have no connection with what I'm going to say right now. There's a healthy tension when Holy Spirit is moving as he's moving. And I understand what that's like, because it's like everything is, and I said this in class today, everything is hypersensitized to me, where like you're sort of seeing in the Spirit and hearing in the Spirit, but you're still living in flesh, you're still living on this earth, you know, and you could be in a whole room of people, and Holy Spirit's doing this thing, and you pick up on this, and you pick up on that, and we don't always know, just because Holy Spirit's doing something, it doesn't mean we have to do anything at that moment. It's probably better in some settings not to. It's not always appropriate, but Holy Spirit is doing this work, and there's this healthy tension, and my encouragement is, if that's happening to you, don't stuff it. Don't try to think, well, that, you know, I don't like this place. No, it's purposeful, because it's a refining work that's going on. It's that refiner's fire, and it's accomplishing something. again, I think some, can any of you relate to this? That sometimes you're in a place and you think, oh my goodness, whatever the setting may be. I referenced in my class today that that this kind of happened to me when I was watching the State of the Union address, that you have this sense that there's just all kinds of flesh flying around. All kinds of flesh flying around. Now, it's pretty easy for that to happen in that kind of a setting. We understand that. But sometimes it can even be among us. And you think, oh my gosh, there's all kinds of flesh flying around. And that should not be. Why is that? Why is that? Why is that? Stop it. It's because we still live in flesh. We still live in flesh. And that's not going to stop as long as we're on this earth. As long as we're still here. Jesus hasn't come back yet, so we're still here. But he wants spirit to always trump flesh. And so we have to ask ourselves, what does that mean for me? Is too much of my flesh still having its way? I wrote down things like, what are our thoughts? What about unforgiveness? What about grudges? What about pettiness? What about just irritations? I think sometimes as Christians, we settle for irritations and we justify them. Well, you just irritated me, Kelly. And no, she didn't. You know, but sometimes we personalize that because I know I can be irritating. But we sometimes excuse it. And I believe as Holy Spirit is being poured upon us, he's saying, I want to deal with even those things. I want to deal with even those little things. Because I want so much more to flow out of you. I want to use you to heal someone. I'll do the healing. You won't do it. But you'll just be a vessel. I want you to speak life to someone and they come to Jesus. I want you to tell your story and they fall flat on the floor and say, Jesus, I surrender just because of what I just heard. And he wants to do that in us and through us. But we get in our own way by holding on to stuff or feelings. And again, God gave us feelings. I'm not dissing feelings, but they sometimes control us in ways that they should not at this place in our walk. Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just imagine just the realization of that verse when you go to work this afternoon, if some of you are going to work this afternoon, or if you go to work tomorrow, that you're so overflowing with hope because of the power of the Holy Spirit in you, because there's nothing in you that is preventing that from happening. You don't have any ought. You don't have any weakness, because he takes care of our weaknesses. We certainly have them. We know them. I'm not denying that. But because you're walking just this intimately with Jesus, and you walk into your workplace, and you walk through your neighborhood, or you walk through a grocery store, and because of the power of the Holy Spirit in you, somebody gets hope. Someone gets hope. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Yet I've written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ to the Gentiles. To the Gentiles. He gave me, that's us. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That, again, is us. That is us. We are the living realization of what Paul's work was about. And he talks about this, the passion he had for his calling. This was his calling. And, you know, all these years later, Paul can still see we can still experience the fulfillment of Paul's ministry because his ministry was to us. The Gentiles might become an offering acceptable. And I ask you, are you an offering acceptable today? And the reality is, if the answer to that is no, I'm not there yet, then say that, acknowledge that, surrender that. Say, I'm not there yet, because he'll meet you right there. He loves it when we just come to that place and say, I'm not there yet, but man, I want to be. I want to be. Do in me what I haven't been able to do myself, because you're never going to be able to do it by yourself. Galatians 5:16-25. So I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. You won't gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. Holy Spirit doing a work in you? Did he do something in you? Did he put a deposit in your day? Walk that out. Walk that out. Whatever that requires of you, walk that out. Whatever's interrupting that, confess it. If you need help, ask for help. There's all kinds of people here. All kinds of people here that want to help. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that's pretty plain. That's pretty plain. There's a whole list there. There's a whole list. And it's not comprehensive because of the last part of that that says, and the like. And the like. It's kind of like the professor and Marianne for a while. They weren't part of the credits. It was like, and the rest in Gilligan's Island. Some of you have no idea what show I'm talking about. But of Gilligan's Island fans, you know. And I always wondered why the professor and Marianne got short shrift. They were just the rest. But I don't know what all and the like is, but there's all kinds of sins all kinds of things that could fall into that category. But only you can go through that list and say, man, is that still part of me? Is that still part of me? And again, if it is, we're not dumping shame on you. We're not dumping guilt on anyone. Confess it. Deal with it. That's the awesome thing about our Savior. He takes us right where we are. But he doesn't want us to, he's not pouring out his Holy Spirit on us for us to stay the same. For us to stay the same ever. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And my encouragement today is with this, these continued outpouring, what's it mean for you today to keep in step with it? Because it all points back to the holiness, to the holiness. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. That was so revelatory to me. It seemed I kind of had to smack myself around a little bit. It's like, man, why didn't I think of that? I'm the senior pastor here. I should have thought of that. But it was one person's testimony to say, all this talk about Holy Spirit just reminds me of holiness. Holiness. And what he wants to deal with me and pull out of me. Acts 20, keep watch over yourselves and the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church, which he brought, church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Be on your guard. Man, I believe that's part of this word. That's part of this word. Be on your guard. Be on your guard of your own life, and the work the Holy Spirit is doing in you. Be on guard with that. Take some time. Identify what specifically does this mean for me? Because, and it's not just about you. Don't take that too far. Just make it about you. But what he's doing in you affects the body. Because he has such a work for us as a body. I am so convinced that he has a work for us as he's activating the ecclesia among us. He's activating his people to be about what he's about. But he's saying, I want to deal with some of these things in you. I want to deal with some of these things that you just kind of let go. And again, it's not for me to say, well, here's your sin, and here's your sin, and here's your deal, and here's what you... You know, I wouldn't do that probably even if I saw it all. But be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, 3 years, I never stopped warning you, each of you, night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you inheritance among all those who are sanctified, among all those who are set apart, set apart, set apart, set apart. Doesn't mean we don't go into the world. It doesn't mean we don't sometimes go into dark places. But I will tell you this, not everybody in here should go into dark places. For some of you, that is not your assignment because it'll be a temptation. For some of you, it'll be your assignment because it won't be a temptation. So that's, again, that's part of the key to this. This Holy Spirit's being poured out. He will give instructions. And they're, Lord, we know from studying the Word, and I've referenced this before, his instructions are so specific. They're detailed. Now, he doesn't always give us every detail at the beginning. He'll maybe give us enough to take a step. Because if we saw it all, we'd be like, no, not doing that. I tried that. Not doing this. Not doing that. I don't want to be a pastor. No, thank you. But he chases us. He chases us. 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what some of you were. So I love that. I love that he points that out, that, hey, you're my disciples now, but some of you were this. But you don't have to be that anymore because of what I did, because of what I accomplished. I paid the price for that. But you were washed. You were sanctified. Set apart. You were set apart. You were set apart. You were set apart. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's the work that he did, and it's the work that's still going on. But we're still works in progress. The work of setting us apart and forgiving us of our sins and calling us into a walk with him, that was the beginning. But the ongoing work of transforming us and changing us, it's still going on. It's still happening. As long as we're living in flesh, we got stuff to deal with. 1 Thessalonians 4, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. Man, if you're sitting in this room today and you're like high school age or college age and you're, what's God's will for me? What's God's will for me? What does he want me to do? We tend to always tie that to career. You know, what does he want me to do with my life? Start here. He wants to sanctify you. It's God's will that you be sanctified, that you be set apart. I'm convinced. Now, God, you know, has callings for us and he has specific assignments for us, and I get that. But go haul garbage. You know, go work for a community that has a garbage service, and go do that and work hard and do it under the Lord, and he will use you. The specifics of that are as varied as your imagination. It's God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. Who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you His Holy Spirit. That is a powerful, powerful, powerful reminder. Don't reject this instruction. Don't reject this. It's not me giving this. I'm speaking the words, yes. And I believe I'm compelled to do that. I believe this is all part of where he's taking us, refining us. He has so many things he wants to do with us. But he doesn't want anything to interrupt that. He doesn't want anything to get in the way of that. Hebrews 10. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some of their habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we receive the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Spirit? Don't trample the Spirit. Don't trample the Spirit. Reverence the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit's moving among us, reverence that. Reverence that. Say, Lord, what are you doing in this moment? Maybe I'm not feeling anything. Maybe I'm not, but he's moving. Acknowledge him even if you don't feel it, because he's here. He tells us he's always going to be here. Ephesians 4, 29, 31, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. It's not an accident that that's right there after talks about our talk. Not an accident. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Malice is when we say some disparaging thing. You just see, you know what Patrick was up to? And it's disparaging, and it's not encouraging. It's not life-affirming. Gossip. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. Come rest on us and take this stuff away. Second Thessalonians, we all ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just looking over my notes. I don't want to miss anything. So, Paul says this in the last part of this verse, for I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. And I just want to tie this whole idea of pour out your Spirit, Lord. 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 And then pour me out. Then pour me out. Paul's coming to the end of his life. And he knew that that was the case. He said, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. And I want to just turn this assignment of, Lord, pour out your Spirit and do your work in us, but then pour me out. And the reality is he's not going to pour out a tainted vessel. Now, it doesn't mean he can't use you. It doesn't mean he can't, you know, you can't witness to somebody. It doesn't mean he's not going to use us with our flaws. But, boy, to be poured out, full surrender. I told you, I already gave you the conclusion. And that's what this is about. What do you need to surrender today? What do you need to surrender? Because I know, just since this message came about and since we talked about this in the class, that there's this, again, it's that healthy tension that, Lord, there's a work you're doing, and I can't put my finger on every part of it. It's an unknown. But the only way I know to deal with it is to just keep pressing in and keep asking and keep bowing down and keep worshiping and keep not letting anything of this world, letting no thought, letting no situation, because there's all kinds of situations. We all deal with situations. We all deal with things in our lives. But not letting any one of those. Don't say fast. Well, there is that. The fact that he said don't say fast means I'm going to say fast. And not because he said it, but we know the Lord's called us to fast. We know it. We were reminded of this again in class today. Pastor Shane reminded us of the power of fasting several years ago. And if I remember correctly, he said, this is not just a passing fad. So yeah, sorry, Ed. Well, I'm not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Because fasting is God's plan. It's just, there's things he does in fasting that there's changes and broken chains that are going to happen only if we're willing to do that. And maybe that's just something even in us. In us, we heard testimony in class today of a powerful fast that's going on and a powerful work that's going on that is very specific to this person's life that is transformative. Change is taking place. And couldn't be more excited about it, even though it hurts sometimes. So I'm glad you said that, Ed. So yeah, whatever we have to surrender, Holy Spirit, if I let you work in me, what will that mean for you fill in the blank? What will it mean for this, whatever activity that may be? What will it mean for And the reality is, if Holy Spirit's leading it, it won't be as bad as you think because he's going to accomplish something that will help you to deal with whatever difficulty there is involved with it. So we're going to call the worship team back up. So, several of you shared a word this week from Lana Towser, who I think operates out of Australia. And when I read it, this particular line caught my attention. A fierce wind of my spirit is upon my church. There's a sudden storm coming upon my church that is going to purify, refine, and sift. I'm going to shake like I have never shaken before, and it will reveal the hearts of those that are for me and those who are against me. And I say unto you that many will be shocked at who is not for me. I'm about to expose and reveal hearts. I'm going to take down the words that are spoken and the right words that are spoken, but the heart is not pure. The heart is not for me. And many of these ones are leading my sheep astray. They are leading my people astray, and these falsities are about to be burned with my fire. I have called and I have called, but my words have fallen on many deaf ears. And now my words will be heard through the powerful demonstration of my hand to clear the shift, to expose, and to remove. Pretty powerful. Pretty powerful. When I read it, I was like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. This is this word. This is this word. This is This is this word of this work of the Holy Spirit to refine us, to refine us. And the reality is there is, we don't have to be afraid. We just have to surrender. If we have to repent, we have to repent. We've all had to do that. We've all had to do that. I can't wait to see what Holy Spirit has in mind for. I can't wait to begin seeing just people falling on their knees for Jesus because they had a conversation with you. Hearing a testimony of, well, while we were talking, this affliction that I had was healed. Because this is not just pie in the sky talk. This is what he does and what he wants to do even more. But he's preparing us for that. See, Jesus is coming back someday. I don't know when, but it seems sooner rather than later. And he's coming back for a bride that is without spot or blemish. And so let's get rid of the spots and blemishes, you know. The ones that we know of now, as soon as we're free of those, there'll probably be something else that he'll want to deal with, and we let him deal with it. As we go to prayer today, there are so many people in this room, and maybe for you it's just I need to fall face down at the altar and talk to Jesus about my stuff. If that's you, just do it. There's no shame. And if you don't want anybody to bother you, say, don't bother me. Or if you just want to do that in your seat. I mean, there's no right, wrong approach to this except just do it. Don't not do it. If you're one of those that's afraid of the work of the Holy Spirit because you're afraid he's going to fly you from the ceiling or something, he's not going to do that. Well, somebody said not yet, I think. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about the things that like that. Let him deal with the things internally. Internally. Because I think sometimes, again, some of our resistance to the manifestations of Holy Spirit are what he wants to deal with inside of me first. And as long as I don't let Holy Spirit, like, as long as I acknowledge that I'm kind of afraid of what he might do, how he might want to use me, may just be a covering for I just don't want to give up that thing. I don't want to have to deal with that. Just deal with it. It's so much more liberating. So much more liberating. You don't have to carry the weight of secrecy and guilt and shame and whatever else is all attached to that. Pour your spirit out, Lord. Pour your spirit out. See, the reality is he's doing it. He's doing it even when we're flawed. He's doing it because he said he was going to do it. And we're living it. We're living it. What's it mean for us? What's it mean for us? Let's stand. Part of the lyric to that song, Pour Your Spirit Out. For hearts that burn with holy fear, purified in faith and deed, refiner's fire, strengthen what remains. Get rid of what doesn't belong there and strengthen whatever remains. A holy anointing, the power of your presence. A holy anointing, the power of your presence. Pour your spirit out. A holy anointing, the power of your presence. Pour your spirit out. That is not just for a church service. That is not just for our corporate gatherings. That is a way of life. It's a way of life. Holy anointing, holy anointing, holy anointing, holy anointing. But if there's holes in the vessel, let him patch up the holes. Let him patch up the holes. Lord, I pray that as we go into a time of prayer and worship here, that you will take these words and you will just pierce our hearts with them, pierce our minds with them. Whatever steps we need to take, even if we don't even know what we need to do, even if we can't articulate, let us just come before you in full submission. I pray for surrender, whether it's tangible in this place today or whether it's personal, just all around the room, that I pray you'll just do that. You'll bring us to that place of saying, Lord, I surrender again. I surrender again. I surrender again. Refiner's fire, refiner's fire. Come and have your way. Come and have your way. Come and have your way. As we spend a little time in worship, just let Holy Spirit have his way with you today. Again, if you need someone to pray with you, there'll be people here to do so. If you want to just go up to someone and say, pray for me, do that. If there are people who are hearing things from God and know they need to go to someone, go do it. Go do it. Go minister to someone as Holy Spirit directs. So, Lord, have your way now. In Jesus' name I pray.